You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I would pay money to make her less scary when now she recording. Does that warning.
You should be able to get Goofy from Disney, like, now recording. And you're like, oh.
That was the whole thing, like, GPS is back in, like, the late 2010s. They were like, what if Snoop Dogg told you to turn left?
Yeah,
and you're like,
that's
ooh.
Right.
What's up, nerds? It's basketball. Welcome to Horse, a basketball podcast about everything except for the wins and losses. My name is Mike Schubert, and I'm joined by my trusted co-host, the Victor Wembanyama, saying, I thought Madison Square Garden would be bigger, to losing by 20 points to the New York Knickerbockers later that evening. It's Victor. It's not Victor Wembanyama. It's Adam Amawala.
Oh, my gosh. That would be a
Victor,
huge guest for us. I mean,
welcome to the pod, Victor. Fuck you.
Hey, I don't feel like he was taking a shot at the Garden, was
No,
he
absolutely was not.
Yeah.
And I just love that all the Knicks fans were like, hey, it's big, which it's not.
Counterpoint,
it's not.
Maybe nothing that's big seems that big if you are gigantic.
Yes, I do not think Victor Wembanyama was trying to throw shade at MSG at all. And I think, in his defense, it is smaller than you anticipate, which makes it a better arena. Like, it's much more vertically compact, which means there's no bad seat in the house. The Sky Bridge is even really fun. You're basically sitting over the court. Whereas, I don't know if you've been to some of these new arenas, but like, we went to that game at Barclays, and the upper deck, you feel like, you feel like you're a mile away from the action. And
yeah,
I went to the new Jazz Stadium. It's so vertical. Like, a lot of these new stadiums, I guess, because it's more expensive to buy wide plots of land, but not vertical plots of land.
Right.
Like, a lot of these new stadiums are just so tall that if you're in the second deck, it's like, why did I buy a ticket? Like, I should just watch this at home.
Totally agree.
But anyway, fuck you, Victor. We destroyed you. You
did nice
not. No, whatever. I just like that we won. It made me very happy. It was a good basketball game. Julius Randle played well, much to your fantasy sports delight, as did the two players on the Spurs who are on your fantasy team. So it was
That's
an
true.
Overall good basketball night for at least us specifically. But before we talk more about basketball, should we prepare to talk about basketball in the Teal Memorial locker room?
I suppose we should, as is tradition.
Mm-hmm. It is tradition. And you know what else is tradition?
Thanking our patrons for being great people and supporters.
Thanking our patrons. Yes. All of our patrons, thank you so much. And shout out to our producer level patrons, especially Polly Burridge, Kendra Hadley, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Duncan Chasing Taco Falls, Bang, Bang, Roast Beef Debris. How about them world champion Denver Steam Nuggets, Anna Reed, Angry Steph Curry is the best Steph Curry for three.
Bang!
Hi Trish, Nicole Shepard, Chase Underulo, Mr. Bubbles Plays Ball, Naked Rachel, Josh Isn't Rich, Sidney Crosby is a Vampire, Chelsea's Cousin, Ginger Spurs Boy, and Balls to the Walls. I feel like we have lots of updates here with the producers. One, Polly Burridge, his favorite Australian rules football women's team is in the finals. Salvatore Testa owes me $10 because we bet on the Knicks and the Spurs game.
Hilarious.
And you got to meet Chase Underulo.
I did. Thank you to Chase Underulo, whose real name is Alex, who came to my City Winery Boston show with her partners, which I really appreciated. Great to meet them.
Fun stuff. So thank you to all of our producer level patrons and to all of our patrons. And you know who else I would like to thank?
Probably our sponsor.
Our sponsor is Shaker and Spoon. Let's say I wanted to toast to all of these producer level patrons or regular patrons or just people listening to the show. If I wanted to do it in a fancy manner, I could do it with Shaker and Spoon. It's a delivery service where you just supply the liquor and they supply the everything else to make fancy cocktails. And cocktails are getting so expensive, at least in New York.
Yeah.
We fully embraced as a city that $22 cocktails are okay, if not normal, which is
unbelievable.
Wild. That's wild. If I can get like three hamburgers or one tiny little drink, that's not correct. Something has gone wrong.
Or like a happy hour glass of wine is $13.
Yeah. You know what is also $13? A bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. It's wild. It's so wild. But if you want to not deal with these wild prices, but still get the fanciness, go to shakerandspoon.com/horse. They will send you a box. They will give you all the ingredients and the instructions to make four servings of three different drinks that all use the same liquor. And then you can be having a very fancy time and not spending a bunch of money on it. And if you want to save even more, you can go to shakerandspoon.com/horse and you will get $20 off your first box, which is about 50% off, which is pretty sweet. So do
Sounds
that.
Sounds good to
and
me.
Celebrate efficiently today. Now, before we continue the episode, you're going to hear some other ads. Now, some of them will be read by us and some of them won't. The ones that aren't read by us are inserted locally. Shout out to the folks who've been messaging us with some of the weirder ads. We are in talks with our advertising partners to make sure that none of those come through. But once these ads are complete, we'll get back to this episode of Horse.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Adam, we are back. What's going on in your life?
Once again, a thank you to anybody who came out at the Boston City Winery Show this past Sunday. I appreciate you all being there. As far as stuff coming up, this is a real wild one, but if anyone happens to be in Pune, India,
yes,
on Wednesday, I guess it'll be probably the Wednesday after this comes out. It's the 22nd of November. I will be performing at... Honestly, I don't know how to pronounce it. It looks like goddamn, and there's no way that's how it's pronounced. It's spelled G-O-D-A-A-M, Godam Coffee
okay,
Shop.
It's got to be that.
Courtesy of Orange Comedy Club, which is like a former brick and mortar club that existed in Pune. But this is the city that my dad grew up in, and I am headlining a show
so
there.
Cool.
And it's really, really cool. I'm going to be going to India. We're recording this episode early because I'm going to be in India from the 12th to the 28th of November. So if anyone happens to somehow be in India listening to this, please come out to that show. But once I'm back yes. in the States, I've got the big stand-up New York show coming up. That is going to be on Thursday, December 14th. I actually also have some shows in Arkansas that are going to be that previous weekend. I think it's the 8th and 9th, so I'll share some info about that. Then in January, I'm going to be in Montana and Vegas. And then I am actively working on securing some dates in your former neck of the woods in Houston and in Dallas for the spring,
oh, cool.
as well as hopefully a DC and Philly date. All of that is TBD, but I'll share details as it comes out. And what about you?
I've got some shows, at least as of recording on November 10th. They just went live, but now they've been live for a little bit. But I'm getting stuff booked for 2024, aka 2020 tour. Yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be in Gainesville, Florida on February 8th, Tampa, Florida on February 9th, Orlando, Florida on February 10th, and then Denver on February 18th and Phoenix on February 20th for shows. Most of them are going to be half Potterless, half the Noose Olympian. And I think only Phoenix is going to be just the Noose Olympian per my policy of if it's a city I've never performed in before doing the half and half show. So got that going on. And then the potential Paris show is still in the works. I'm getting ever closer to them sending me a contract. I keep inching towards it, and I email them every 2 days to be like, please? So mm-hmm. hopefully we can make that take place. But that's what's on the horizon. You get tickets to everything at schub.es/tour. But yeah, that's what's in the works. I've got some other things that I'm working on for later in the year, trying to come to like North Carolina and then like October of 2024 coming to New Orleans. There's stuff in the ether getting
cool.
happening.
Love it.
But yeah, that's what's going on. All right, we've got an NBQ&A, correct?
We do have an NBQ&A. This one comes to us from a listener, Dan. Subject is NBQ&A, basketball moves / techniques. And the question is, hey, Mike and Adam, this is a bit more gameplay specific, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about some major basketball moves or dribbling / shooting techniques. Terms like Step back and hook shot are pretty self-explanatory, but I'm not always sure what stuff like pick and roll, euro step, or iso ball mean. I appreciate any clarifications or explanations. Love the pod. You are always such a joy to listen to. Well, thank you for listening, Dan. We appreciate it. Why don't we just start with explaining those specific things that Dan asked about? So let's talk about what a pick and roll is.
Yeah, pick and roll. A pick is the first part of a pick and roll. That is also known as a screen, but it's basically when someone who does not have the ball runs up next to someone defending their teammate. So let's say Adam and I are on the same team. Adam's got the ball. I'm going to go set a screen or a pick on Adam's man. I will just stand next to the person guarding Adam and kind of like put my hands down around my waist. I'm putting my hands over my crotch. That's what you do. Yeah. I guess part protection, but part like it's just what you do.
So I think it's definitely from just not wanting to get smacked in the nuts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, even ladies in the WNBA do that. It's just like the approved form of setting a screen.
I don't think a crotch shot is fun for anyone, regardless
probably
of gender.
Probably not. Yeah, that's true. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you go over, you set the screen, and then in theory, that allows Adam to, you know, dribble around, and then his defender is blocked by me. Then my defender has to usually go over and guard Adam. That can create switches or confusion on the defense. Maybe Adam can drive to the lane, or if my defender is too far deep, Adam can just shoot a three-pointer. So that's the pick portion. The roll portion would be after I set the screen, I would then dive towards the basket. So I would just start running closer to the basket. And then that would allow either, if the defenders don't guard me, Adam can pass it to me and I can get a dunk because I can dunk in the scenario. Or if the defenders pay more attention to me, that gives Adam more room and then he can either shoot a jumper or continue to dribble. It's just a really effective basketball move to either try and get the guy with the ball to score or at the very least just like screw up the defense to allow for a more favorable situation for the offense.
Yeah, and I think the best example of this, obviously, we don't like either of these people, but like John Stockton and Karl Malone were very known for doing this in their time in Utah. Yeah. I think
Draymond
more recently,
Green and Steph Curry.
Yeah, I think one of the better examples is Chris Paul and Blake Griffin when they were both on the Clippers. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple really famous dunks where Blake Griffin jumped so high that he like throws the ball through the hoop. One over Kendrick Perkins, one over Timothy Mozgov, who was on the Knicks at the time. But in both cases, it's the exact same play where he sets a screen for Paul. Paul goes around, the defenders collapse, and then Griffin gets open. Paul passes in the ball, and Griffin throws down just a ridiculous jam. So we'll post a couple links to examples of that so that you see what that looks like, and also they're just fun to watch. So that's pick and roll. Mm-hmm. Eurostep has become something that's gotten very, very popular recently, not only in the NBA, but also in YMCAs near you. Mm-hmm. Some people do it more adeptly than others, but I think the most basic way to describe it is that when you're playing basketball, if you are running and dribbling the ball, once you pick up your dribble, you only get two steps before it becomes a travel.
Yeah. Technically a step and a half. You can step once, and then on your second step, you must jump.
Exactly. It's like on your gather, you can step once, and then the second step, you have to do something with it. Eurostep is basically being really creative with how you use those steps. So what it usually involves is stepping with your first step one direction and then cutting back the other direction with your second step so that you, it's almost like what a running back would do in football. Like you're leading someone one way and then moving around them the other way. But it's become a really incredibly popular thing in the modern game that it didn't exist 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Yeah, it really started to become more popular per its name when European players started coming over into the NBA. So people like Manu Ginobili in the mid-2000s, like that was when it started to become more popular. And it was just this thing because normally when you take that step and a half, traditionally you just kind of like do them in motion so that you kept your momentum and then you could jump higher and all of that. But then people started using it as the strategic thing of like, well, if I step to the right, my defender is like, oh, his second step will also be to the right. Let me anticipate his movement and move over there. And then you go, ha ha ha, and I'm going to the left.
Right.
So people brought it in, then James Harden started to popularize it by doing like these very dramatic, slow move one, then the other.
And they like,
James
do
Harden's
often
whole
look
thing
like
is his deceleration.
Travel. Like
but it's one of those like point at the rule book. It's very Air Bud. There's no rule that says a dog can't play basketball. Where it's very much like, why would I be penalized for my step and a half being very slow? I still get a step and a half, you know? So I love it. I think it's a great move. And I like that it exists just because people getting duped is very fun.
Sure. But speaking of James Harden, let's talk about iso ball.
Sure. ISO ball is short for isolation ball, which, as it states, is usually just kind of like the other people on your offense will just kind of spread out to give you as much room as possible. Because in theory, if you're someone like James Harden or Steph Curry, you can cook your defender. You can just do a bunch of dribble moves and get around them. And sometimes the best offense is just let me go one on one against this guy and everybody clear out so I have a clear room to the basket. I'll do some dribble moves. I will get past him. If anybody's teammate helps, you know, anyone on the defensive side tries to then come over and stop me from scoring, I can then pass it to you and then you'll get a wide open three-pointer. So that was like the entire Houston Rockets offense when James Harden was on the team. It was just like he's an offense onto himself. And that's why in recent comments, now that James Harden has been traded to the Clippers, he said the Sixers tried to put me in a system. I am the system. And then after the Clippers lost to my beloved New York Knicks, someone posted on the subreddit a blue screen of death, and they said, James Harden is the system. This is the system. And it was,
I love it,
the Microsoft error screen. So yeah, yes. ISO ball is just isolation right. ball.
Yeah, also, I would say the isolation ball would have been a really good and sad name for anyone who had to do a virtual prom.
Yeah, the isolation You're ball.
You're hereby invited to the isolation ball.
Isolation ball. Yep. I'm trying to think if there's any other dribbling and shooting moves that aren't just like described by their name.
Well, but, Dan, if you think of any others or if anybody else does, sure. You can always feel free to email us or hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. But hopefully that answers your preliminary questions. And there'll always be subsequent NBQ&As and NBQ&A episodes. But what do you say we get into Full Court Press?
Yeah, let's get into Full Court Press. Get it like the news. We'll keep this one pretty brief because we have a very fun interview to close out this episode. But I think a big thing to discuss, something that will be evergreen, even though we're recording this much in advance of the episode coming out because of India-related travels. The NBA in-season tournament really kicked off this week, and there are fun things to go along with it. Notably, the courts are funky, and I like that they are weird. Not all of them are cool, but I still like making the choice to do something fun. Like, let's just do something different.
Yeah.
And it is also very helpful because there is the confusion of, like, which games are
right.
counting towards this. It's what, Tuesdays? And it's all that. But like, oh, is the court weird? It's an in-season tournament
sure.
game, I think is genius.
Yes, it's a very good genius. Visual cue. It does remind me a little bit of like when Priuses first came out and then like every other hybrid had to look weird. It's like, I don't think there's an actual physical reason that they need to look that way. We can just have cars that look like normal cars that are hybrids, which I do think exists now. But for the time being, like when something is new, I think there's something to be said for differentiating it visually, which is exactly what the NBA is doing. I will also say, I mean, we did a big breakdown of this on the Patreon, which you can access at patreon.com/horsehoops. But some of the jerseys, the like city edition jerseys, do actually look better on the players than they did just seeing a photo of the jersey. So between that and the
Knicks
course,
one looks a lot fun. Better yeah. in person. It looks so, so much better in but, person. I really enjoy yeah. the Knicks jerseys.
But, as a couple of colorblind boys, though, some of these courts are a bit jarring. Like the Bulls were playing on a bright red court, and I was like, this is hard to watch.
It is a little strange on a television screen. I am tempted. I really want to go to a Knicks. Like, it's working. Like, I want to go to a Knicks game because I want to see, does the court look weirder? Like,
yeah.
Because the Knicks one is like mostly orange with a blue stripe down the middle. And like, I feel like orange isn't that much different than, you know, tan.
Mm-hmm.
You just ramp up the saturation, basically. And I don't know. I am intrigued to see, will the court look weird?
Yeah.
I do appreciate the very colorful courts as opposed to the Nets. The past couple of seasons have had that like grayscale court.
Yeah.
It always makes me feel like my TV is broken. It reminds me of every iPod Touch app that was on the App Store in the mid-2010s where it was like, take your photo and isolate just one color and everything will
right.
be black and white except for your shirt or whatever. That just looks strange. And that's what makes me sad is a lot of the jerseys are black. So all of the City Edition jerseys are inspiring the court. And I think that makes sense as to why a lot of the City Edition jerseys are so bland. And as we said on our Patreon thing, like a lot of them are just like one thing and then a lot of blank space. I think that's because every City Edition jersey is basically what is on center court. So like that makes sense.
Sure.
I think a lot of the jerseys are hideous though, but unfortunately, a lot of the jerseys are black or charcoal or gray. And then we have a lot of black slash charcoal slash gray courts. And yeah, they got a stripe of color in the middle, which is fun. But I wish they were just more colorful. I think the color is fun and I would like more of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the Heat's court? Because the Heat's one is actively disgusting.
I didn't, but let me look it up.
I would Google it, but the Heat's City Edition jersey this year says Heat Culture on it. And Heat Culture is this thing where it's like, oh, the Heat just have this like great mentality around the team where everybody tries really hard and we take it seriously. And there is some legitimacy to Heat Culture because they get all these guys who are like undrafted or late picks or people that have been given up by on other teams. And then they get to the Heat and then they become amazing basketball players. So there is some validity to it, but it's gone like a little too far to where I think Heat Culture. Yeah. Heat Culture has gotten to this thing where the fans feel weirdly entitled. We'll get into this later in the episode where like the whole Heat fan situation around trading for Dame was like, he should be a Heat player because we will make him better. Like, we deserve him. It was strange. But because of that, on the sides of their jerseys, they have things that say like most conditioned, hardest working, most dedicated team or whatever, which is a quote that Pat Riley said about the New York Knicks in the 90s. Like, they're taking this quote from Pat Riley, who's the president of the team, that he said about his old team, the Knicks, and then using it for the Heat. It's so stupid. But that is on the side of the jerseys, and it's like in a very faint font, so you can like barely see it, but it is like plastered on the court in the paint where they shoot free throws in white on black, very clear to read. Do you want to read what the words are? Because it sounds so cheesy. It reminds me of the 10% power, 50% pain song, which is just cringe city.
Go for it if you have it, because I X'd out of the court that I was looking at.
Sure. Let's
see. Sorry.
You're good. Here's what it says. And my apologies. It's red on black, not white on black. Still jarring, not as jarring. It says hardest working, best conditioned, most professional, unselfish, toughest, meanest, nastiest team in the NBA.
And
couple
most humble.
With this. Couple problems with this. First, they have a period after each of the things, which is just grammatically incorrect. They should all be commas. But also, when they have toughest, there's a point in the court where the restricted area is marked with like a little almost hemisphere, and you can't stand inside the restricted area and take a charge because it is deemed a dangerous play. Where the line of the restricted area goes through toughest, it crosses through the G, making it look like a C, so it looks like it says touchest, which is just But yeah, it's really gross and it's too big. Like, you're watching the game and it's on the point of the court that like you see most often, like the paint. It's not like it's in the middle where you would only see it when they're switching sides. It's in the paint. Like, you see it the whole game. It's hideous. I hate it.
Yeah, not for me.
No, not for me either. But as a whole, I am here for the funky courts, even the ones that look weird or whatever. I just like making choices. I like doing new things. It's fun. Let's have fun. The in-season tournament is supposed to be fun. I think it's fun. Next year, let's have more colors and less gray. But overall, I think it's fun.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of fun, we are going to now have a very fun interview with Ian Carmel, who is a stand-up comedian and an enormous Blazers fan. And we've talked in the past about trying to get Ian on the show, and now we are finally able to make it happen, which is very cool. It's a lovely chat.
It was really fun.
It was super fun. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Just going through all sorts of fandom, Ian's history with the Blazers, where it is now, what it's like to root for a team that was very good and now is rebuilding, and just a good, interesting perspective on just fandom in general, even if you don't necessarily understand the specifics of Blazer fandom. And then we also talk about the city of Portland. Good times all around.
All right. As previously mentioned, we have a very special guest on the podcast today. Our guest is a very funny stand-up comic. You might also know him as the host of the popular podcast All Fantasy Everything and his basketball podcast Emotional. Ian Carmel joins Horse. How's it going, Ian?
It's wonderful. It's a beautiful day here in Los Angeles. I waited in line for 15 minutes to get a cup of black coffee, and I'm ready to go, dude.
I love it. I love to hear that. You know, you were very humble when I asked how you wanted to be introduced, but we're going to play a little game that we like to play sometimes called, Is This Person's Wikipedia Page Accurate? So Ian was being very, very humble, but this is what I had. This is what I got on you, Ian, from the fine folks at Wiki. Ian Carmel, we're not going to say the birthday, but it is out there if people want to look it
October
up.
October 9th, 1984.
Hey, just before LeBron. I believe LeBron just was December LeBron. Of 84. Yeah.
I'm, yeah. Ian, if I can get signed, I'm the oldest player in the NBA, and I'm looking for that 10-day.
Amazing. Also, you share a birthday with my girlfriend. Fun fact that I just learned right now.
The two of us and John Lennon.
There you go. Oh, that's pretty good. All right.
Yeah. It's a good rotation.
Here we go. I'm going to fluff you up a little bit. Ian Carmel is an American stand-up comedian and writer. He was the co-head writer, for CBS's The Late Late Show with James Corden. He wrote for the 2017 and 2018 Grammy Awards, as well as the 2016 Tony Awards. His work on the 2016 Tony Awards earned him an Emmy Award nomination for Outstanding Writing in a Variety Special.
You get an Emmy for the Tonys?
Work,
that's
on,
cool.
His work on Carpool Karaoke, when Corden met McCartney live from Liverpool, won him an Emmy in 2019. So my follow-up, Ian, is all of that accurate? And if so, you think you're better than me? Is that what this is about?
That is all accurate. It's actually, if anything, my Wikipedia hasn't fluffed me up enough because I worked on 2018 Tonys, whatever the other one that Corden hosted. So I've written on two Tonys.
Nice.
Let's go.
Two Tonys. And I don't think I'm better than you because of the birthday part.
Two Tonys sounds like a really ridiculous podcast hosted by Italian guys from Staten Island.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like the perfect pizza joint to go to two in the morning.
Absolutely.
Like, go to two Tonys. It'd be perfect.
It'd be funny if two Tonys was also still talking about the Tony Awards. You know what I mean? With
yes.
I wonder if they're going to do anything for Sleep No More, running their iconic run. You know, it's not on Broadway, but they did good work over a number of years. And it'd be
it's
nice.
An absolute shame that Percy Jackson, the musical, got shut down for COVID because it should have won.
Just
not even be
just
nominated.
A couple of union guys who can't stop talking about cats.
Yeah. Scrimbleshanks the Railway Cat is a top three. If Scrimbleshanks played for the Knicks, we would have won four championships with Ewing.
Oh, he could have got those rebounds. Charles Smith over here.
So, Ian, I have known about you for a long time through the stand-up comedy world, but I think the basketball world knows you more so for being a diehard Blazers fan. So I feel like that's a good place to start. Talk us through, I know you grew up in Oregon, but talk us through your Blazers fandom, how it came to be as intense as it is. What are some of the highs and lows, both recently and back in the day?
Yeah. I blessed to grow up in the beautiful Willamette Valley of Portland, Oregon, home to the 1977 World Champion. Portland Trail Blazers. I wasn't quite alive for that, but it's like you said, born in 1984. So when I sort of came online, you know, when I was 5-6 years old, it was the beginning of those Rip City Blazer teams. For the listeners, that was like Clyde Drexler, Terry Porter, Kevin Duckworth, Buck Williams, Jerome Kersey, Danny Ainge coming off the bench back when he used to be an NBA player and not just like a...
Lest we forget Cliff Robinson.
Cliff Robinson as well, the cliffhanger, man. I still have that Sports Illustrated somewhere. And they were just an amazing team. They were deep. They were good. They went to the NBA Finals twice where they lost to the Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls respectively. But I fell in love. And Portland was in love with the team. Portland, till they got their two soccer teams, the Timbers and the Thorns, it was like a one-team town. And we loved that team, like crazy loved that team. And, you know, I would make construction paper cutouts of the players. So, I watched the games. I had I had the cards, the binders full of cards. And this was also during the early stages of the Michael Jordan era. And it was there were kids at school who liked Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Because that's what kids do. They like the dominant player. My nephew is a Lakers fan right now, back up, and he lives in Portland, basically. Breaks my heart. It breaks my fucking heart. It really, really does. They're coming to L.A. this weekend, and I'm going to take them because the Blazers are playing the Lakers.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he's going to get to see the Lakers, and I'm going to try to
convert him,
subtly sort of. I'm going to try to convert him a little bit. You know, this is
look how
beginning.
Fun Shaden Sharp is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. LeBron's old.
I think what you should do is be like, all right, here's the deal. If you wear the Lakers jersey, we're going to be in the top row of the stadium. If, however, you're open to this Anthony Simons jersey, I got courtside seats for you, buddy.
I wish I had courtside seats. It would be less expensive to send him to some sort of deprogramming cult camp at that point.
It'd be less expensive to fly him to Portland and then get a hotel and
get
courtside
seats. Yeah. I actually looked, they're $8,000 a seat for this game.
At the artist formerly known as Staples? Jeez.
Yeah. crazy to see the Blazers on a Sunday night. You know what I mean? Like
the Blazers. Like
I
no
love
disrespect.
The Blazers, but
yeah,
I, you know what I mean.
That's
like
wild.
We don't even like Simons is out. Sharp is going to play, but
yeah.
Anyway, I loved the Blazers. Was a huge fan. They consistently went to the playoffs. Every year they went to the playoffs, even though they were never making noise until like the early 2000s. You know, we went through that Jailblazer era, which was very stupid, where the media like looking for any excuse to call them thugs.
Right.
But that's when like Rasheed Wallace, up until Lillard got to the team, my favorite Blazer. Well, it went Duckworth. Oh, I forgot to mention this. So when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, I went to the Middleman Jewish Community Center for preschool and kindergarten. And that is also where the Blazers practiced. Yeah. Because this was before, this was like, they didn't really have team facilities yet. This was still like kind of early NBA, you know? And you would be sitting there having a knish at the team, like at the cafe at the community center, and you would see Kevin Duckworth walk by. You would see Clyde Drexler walk by with like his, you know, like Avia bag like over his shoulder.
Wow.
And that Kevin Duckworth gave me a piggyback ride once because he was my favorite player and I went running over and he picked me up. So like all 7 feet up in the air, like that was, and like if I wasn't already hooked, which I was, that was just like, I was helpless at that point.
That's amazing. That's like something out of the Make a Knish Foundation.
It's like a Make which I think we should found after this, the Make a Knish Foundation. Yeah.
What a random place for you to have been and for them to have been practicing.
The owner was a Jewish guy. Sounds like lightly anti-Semitic book. But it was this... whose name is escaping me right now, Wine something? Anyway, before Paul Allen. And so they practiced there. Larry Weinberg was the man's name. And it was crazy because it was just like a big YMCA-style gym. So they didn't have partitions between the courts, like except for those big curtains they would pull out. And this was also where the middle-aged Jewish dudes were having like their pickup runs.
That is so
like
so
on
funny.
One court, you would have five guys named Irving running pickup. And on the next one, you'd have like the Western Conference champions. Practicing pick and rolls, you know what I mean? Like with Rick Adelman coaching him.
That's amazing. That reminds me, I don't know if you've heard that great Gary Goldman bit about playing basketball at the JCC where they put in a like a plexiglass backboard. And he's like, yeah, I don't know how many games you've been to at the JCC, but we're not really shattering backboards over there.
Exactly right. Yeah. Maybe they would shatter it with like an errant three-pointer. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That might. Somebody taking out the rage from all their clients on the backboard. But anyway, so I was a huge Blazer fan, yada, yada, yada. The team was great in the early 2000s. We were a fourth quarter away from going to the finals where we probably would have won a championship.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. You know, then there was the LaMarcus Aldridge era. I'm skipping over a lot of stuff. The Brandon Roy era.
Yeah.
Again, amazing player.
Roy's a heartbreaking one just because of the injuries.
Heartbreaking. Like such a smooth game, like such an effortless scorer. We knew his knees were bad when we drafted him. They stayed bad. They eventually got so bad he couldn't keep playing.
Yeah.
LaMarcus Aldridge, kind of a somewhere between star and superstar who only kind of wanted to be in Portland and left two meetings with the Lakers, which that's all you ever need to know you're not going to get your jersey retired in Portland, although he might still. But I hope he doesn't. Take that, LaMarcus Aldridge. Two meetings with the Lakers? F off, bro.
Too many.
That's too many.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I started doing stand-up comedy, and Helium Comedy Club in Portland sent out this email to the local features and MCs right when they opened saying, is anyone a basketball fan? Because the regional sports network has this after-the-game show that's looking for people to come on and talk about games and to be like part of the panel. They want a comedian on there. And I was like, yeah, I grew up in Portland. I'm a huge fan. So I went and did it. It went well. And then I got to be part of this show called Talkin' Ball that was on after every Blazer game.
Amazing.
Where it was me, a former player, usually like Jerome Kersey, would like sit there. So this dude I grew up watching, now I'm like sitting next to talking about the games. And then like a sports writer, these guys like this guy Dwight James, who I grew up reading, which was amazing. And then also like occasionally like Chris Haynes would be on there when he was like a local reporter. Ben Golliver when he was a local reporter. Abby Chin, who's now like the Celtics sideline reporter. Like it churned out like a ton of crazy talent.
Wow. And this was for like the local like sports?
Just local, network? Comcast Sportsnet Northwest, which was like Blazer games. And I think that was it.
Amazing.
Blazer games and reruns of old Blazer games.
And old and like Duck and Beaver pregame shows. But now I very rarely like the games themselves.
Yeah.
So that was sick. So then I got to like sort of get in with the team. And like since then I've gotten to like work with the team a few times locally, which is also part of like, you know, I'm very specifically very barely famous. But because the Blazers don't have any other famous fans who are super engaged, I get to do cool stuff with the team.
Now, are you like at the level of Blazers fame where they'll put you up on the screen? Like you're at the game, they say like Ian Carmelo's
here? Yeah, they'll put me on the Jumbotron, which is pretty amazing.
So logistics of that, do they tell you? Do they say like, hey, we're going to come at this point? Or are they just like, at some point there will be camera
like, you better not
face.
Be eating nachos because it could happen anytime.
At some point it happened. I think when it happened, I had to like put down a drink because I was like finishing. The first time it happened was at the game when Damian Lillard hit the 3-point shot over Houston. His first.
That one?
Wow. Yeah.
Whoa.
His first playoff ending. If you, in the video, you can see me because I, like, the seats I had were behind the basket that he hit the shot on, probably like 5 or 6 rows back. And I'm sitting there and I'm very proud of this. My arm goes up celebrating.
On the release, yeah.
Halfway, like, on the show, when the shot hits its apex. My arm goes up. Like, I knew it was going in. I was like, that is...
Is that the loudest stadium experience you've had?
By far. Like, that, it was louder in the concourse after the game than I've heard it in any other stadium in my entire life. Like, it
I mean, it's a shot that ended the series. Like, it's not just a game winner. It is a series-winning shot, which is so cool, and he's done it twice.
He's done it twice. And he sent home, like, it was Dwight Howard, it was James Harden. Yeah. Like, it was a packed Houston team.
That game will forever be burned in my brain. It's one of those, like, you remember where you are at games, because I went to college in Houston, I remember, you know, the playoffs would always be during finals, so I would always get bad grades on finals.
Right.
And we were watching this game instead of studying with a bunch of Rockets fans. And before that shot, Chandler Parsons hit, like, a clutch layup with, like, a second and a half left.
Yeah.
And then they call timeout, and my friends were going nuts. Like, they were freaking out. They're like, we're going to extend the series. It's amazing how clutch, whatever. And then we all are watching the shot thinking like, oh, they'll get a shot off and miss it. And then, man, it was silent in that room. And me as a neutral party, I was like, oh, cool.
He is such a murderer. I miss him. I'm also okay with him being gone. But boy, like, I've said this before, but part of the experience of being a Blazer fan, and I think of just being like, what teams do you guys root for?
I'm an enormous Knicks fan. Unhealthily. I was on Jarrett Jack's basketball reference page last night. That's how bad my Knicks fandom is.
I mean, a man we share.
Yeah, and I'm a Bulls fan, but before you make any preconceptions about that, I grew up in the Chicago area, so it's not purely because I was like, Michael Jordan's great. I was born in Aurora, setting of Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah, Aurora.
Yeah.
My wife is from Highland Park, so she's a Bulls fan, honestly. Yeah.
Nice.
So this will be less relatable for the Bulls fan among us. But I think, like, being a fan of a team that isn't accustomed to winning championships.
Well, I'm also a Cubs fan, so let me just jump
in. Okay, so you get it. But even that, even still, you got the one in 2016, right?
Yeah.
It's like you have to learn to, but it is probably true for any sports fan, like, you have to learn to appreciate those moments. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You have to be like those moments of pure euphoria. You can't judge your fandom experience based on, like, how many titles the team wins. It always, anytime, like, and I know they're just trolling, but if you get into, like, a argument online with, like, Lakers fans or Celtics fans or sometimes Heat fans where they're like, rings, bro, rings. And you're like, okay, sure. I mean, those are awesome moments. Those are those moments. But, like, as a Blazer fan, getting to watch Dame end 2 playoff series like that, getting to watch Brandon Roy's 54-point playoff game where he rips his jersey out of his pants. Like, those are the moments that, like, I've had in my life and I've gotten to hold on to that are like, and Brandon Roy did that during Bridgetown Comedy Festival. So I was walking around with other comedians, like, and it was coming out of every bar. It was amazing. So it's just like, I don't know. We haven't won a ring in my lifetime. We may never, but, like, I'm a very satisfied Portland Trail Blazer.
But I think that's a really good perspective to have. And I kind of, and Mike can assess this as also a Yankees fan. I think it's a sad thing when your viewpoint on being a sports fan is like, any year that we don't win the championship is a waste of time or a failed year. Like, if you have that myopic of viewpoint, like, do you just live your life being like, well, any relationship I've ever had that didn't end in me getting married, that was a waste of time, and, like, I wish it hadn't happened. Like, no, you can still experience joy even if something doesn't work out in the end. And that's why when last year, I don't know if you saw that Giannis press conference where the reporter asked him something to the degree of, like, how does it feel knowing that, like, you guys were a failure this year? And he responded and said, like, are you good at your job every single day? And the guy was like, no. And he's like, so do you consider yourself a failure every year? And the guy was like, no. And that, I think that's a good way to look at it, is like, yeah, it doesn't always end in a banner or a championship, but if the ride is fun, and, you know, this year may not be that, but I'm sure there's still going to be things as a Blazers fan that are going to be fun for you even in a tough year.
Dude, watching Shaedon Sharpe this year, you know what I mean? Like, at first it looked pretty grim. I went to the first game this season because they played the Clippers, and I was like, here we go. Mm-hmm. Scoot Henderson, 24, 15, and 6 opening night. And he didn't do that. That's not how it went. It went very poorly. but and I was like, oh no, this is terrible. I was fairly certain he's, and I still remain fairly certain he's going to get it back on the rails, but I was like, worried, dude. I was like, oh, yeah. We should have taken one of the Thompson twins. You know what I mean? Like, starting to do that. And then Shaden Sharp, all of a sudden, and then Simons got hurt for like 4 to 6 weeks. Right. Andy's on my fantasy team, so double trouble there. But Shaden Sharp has looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
His first step is like amazing. He can get to the rim whenever he wants. I know he's going to try to dunk on Wembanyama at some point this year. It might kill both of them, but I'm excited to see him try to do it. Like, yeah, there's always, unless you're a Washington Wizards fan, there's always something to get excited about.
It's true.
it's grim for the Wizards right now.
I mean, along those lines, they're bad. Talk us through the, but I do like that they threw an alley-oop off the backboard down 20. I thought that was a funny moment.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Hey, have fun.
If you get the opportunity to do it, do it. I don't care what the score is.
Yeah. But if you're losing, you're losing. Who cares? You know, give the people in the stands something to root for.
But you alluded to this before, saying that you're ultimately like fine with how things turned out with Dame. Do you feel like that has anything to do with where he ultimately landed? Like, does him ending up in Milwaukee make you feel differently than if he had been like, I need to go to Miami, and that's where he ended up?
The Heat thing turned into like a lasagna of resentment. There were so many layers of just like, where like Dame asking for a trade, understandable, still hurt, but completely understandable. And also, if you look at the team realistically, you're like, oh, okay, we need to start heading off on this new path. And with Dame on the team, we're going to win a lot of games that it would be better for us to lose. So you were okay with that. But then there's like the, oh, he only wants to go to the Heat. That's kind of annoying that he's only picked one team. And then the Heat are only offering up these few players. And they're even being cagey about that and not really any picks. And one of them's Tyler Hero. You know, Tyler Hero's good, but also the Heat went on this run in the playoffs last year without Tyler Hero. And then all of a sudden they're turning around and telling us like, this is the guy you want. This is the guy you get for your franchise player of 9 years who like could absolutely like tip the title odds.
It's like when you're doing like a white elephant thing and someone keeps pushing a gift towards you and you're like, I feel like if you keep pushing it, that's maybe not the gift that I want to pick.
Yeah, like that's maybe not the one I want. And it's Tyler Hero's fine. He's a fine NBA player, but he like, we have Shaden Sharp. Look what he's doing right now. Hero's having a great season until he got injured. But like what we needed was fewer guards who need to have the ball in their hands so we could let the ones that we have sort of like grow and prosper and everything. So, and then I spend enough time online to have become very like radicalized against the Heat just by their behavior on Twitter, dude. There were just people like, calling us a poverty franchise, saying Joe Cronin is going, like saying like other players in the NBA are watching the way the Blazers are treating Damian Lillard right now, and they're taking note of it. Like we've ever gotten a free agent in our entire lives anyway.
Right. I used to live in Seattle, and I would go to Portland quite often, and it's a lovely town.
Yeah.
What is the reason? Is it just because it's not like a major media thing? Like, I don't get why there hasn't been a single player, especially during Dame's heyday, to be like, you know what? I'm going to live in a perfectly nice city, and it'd be the lord of the town. Like, I don't get why no one would want to go.
I think if you're a young black millionaire from a city that has other young black millionaires in it, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably, to go to Portland is probably like a little bit of a culture shock, which is a very like Caucasian, very like, oh, check out this foie gras terrine, you know what I mean? With like ramp salad sort of city that I do understand how they could find it like isolating and sort of lonely. And if you were looking for like a community that was outside of your teammates, then it would be like kind of slim pickings. I understand that part of it. But then you get the people, you get Lillard, you get CJ McCollum, who like moved out, you know, when he was there, he bought a winery.
Love it.
Rad.
You know, in the Willamette Valley and like really took like to the culture. So it just takes like a certain kind of, but it's not just a white black thing, because Hedo Turkoglu also, we were trying to get him and he like swerved us for Toronto. Thank God though, because he ended up being terrible. But it's just hard to get free agents there. So that's what when they were like, oh, free agents are looking at the way you're treating Dame, it's like, I don't think they are. And even if they are, that doesn't matter, because the only way we've ever been able to build our team is through the draft. So
yeah, and Dame also left on like a really good note, at least with, you know, the statement that he put out and everything, thanking the people of Portland.
With the city, with the fans, with everybody, but like perhaps the GM who he's frustrated with because he didn't send him directly to Miami.
Right.
And who knows how it would have gone if he went to Miami. Probably pretty good. But yeah, you know,
I mean, I think him and Giannis is a pretty amazing duo.
Yeah, I think arguably he's in a better basketball situation. Sure, he's gone from Portland to Milwaukee in terms of like glitzy glamour city. But look, man, you get to play with Giannis every night.
Every night.
And you get paid a lot of money to do that. That's really fun.
A shitload of money. He's going to make $60 million a year to play with Giannis. And if they can figure that defense out, that team is as good as anybody in the Eastern Conference, perhaps other than the Boston Celtics. But
right.
To answer your question in a long way, I thought it was pretty funny that he didn't go to the Heat with regards to all the Heat fans who were like flipping out and self-immolating, you know, and calling for like the head of Joe Cronin when it didn't happen. Which, how would you even hold the head up? He has no hair. You'd have to palm it like a basketball. I was a little bummed for Damian Lillard, who like I love and would have like been happy to see him go to his preferred destination, but
it would have been better because who wants to play for a team where the fans leave 3 minutes left in a finals game?
Goddamn right. Exactly right. DJ Khaled trying to high five you every like 3 minutes. Sit down, dude. Like, I think it's a better basketball situation. And it was better for me on a petty level.
I saw someone refer to DJ Khaled recently as a human string toy. Like, you pull it and it only says like one or two or three phrases. Yeah. It's so good.
Plus, Dame is an Adidas athlete, so you wouldn't even get the hookup on the exclusive DJ Khaled shoes, man. There's no benefits to that. No.
Was that a strain on him being in Portland, Nike Town, that he was Adidas guy? Was that ever like burbling up?
No, because Adidas North American headquarters are also in Portland. Everybody's in Portland.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Athletic capital of the world, I guess.
It's where all the sneaker people went. I don't know why you would do that if you were Adidas, but I guess so, like, if you were poaching talent, they wouldn't have to sell their house.
Honestly, that might be it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we've talked before. You've done a lot of impressive things, but All Fantasy Everything, I would love to hear how that came to be. Like, what was the conception of that? Because it's a very unique and great concept for a podcast. So for anyone who's not familiar, talk to us a little bit about that.
Oh, thank you. We fantasy draft non-sports things. So throw it like Nicolas Cage movies, sandwiches, anything you can think of. I was in writer's rooms for the last 10 years. I was in Chelsea lately for a year and then Corden for the last like 8.5 years. And I couldn't go on the road as much. And I wanted a way to sort of like stay in touch with people who like enjoyed me in other cities and also just to do like a fun podcast. So we started it back in 2016, and the impetus was I loved fantasy drafting, but I was also the dude in the league who like a month and a half into the season just stopped updating his roster because I loved the drafting was
the
always
draft
way
is always
more
the
fun
best
to
part.
Me. Yeah. I love the draft.
This year Adam and I were in the same fantasy basketball league. Yeah. And unfortunately for me, it was a daily fantasy league. So you can like make waiver wire moves anytime. You can change roster stuff. And I would stay up because it's a Yahoo one. So it was like West Coast based. So I would stay up till 3 a.m. to make waiver moves at like 3:01 a.m. It was completely unhealthy. So I had to like take myself out of it because I got way too into it. But this year I was like, Adam, can I help you with the draft? Like,
I had my own draft consultant.
Strategizing. You're like, Lou Dort, get Lou Dort.
Convince me to pick Julius Randle, which hasn't been great so far this season, but I think it'll turn around.
It's okay. He'll turn it around. Sure. It was one of those, like, enough people let Julius go where I was like, all right, look, you should probably take him now.
By love.
Yeah, so, but I agree. Drafting is the most fun part. It's a delight.
I drafted Ja Morant and Zion, so I'm really...
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, Ja's my, comes back, and I'm like, that's the playoff push.
Exactly.
But I'm 0-2 so far because I also drafted Simons and he got hurt immediately. Mm-hmm. But I got a Luka, so we'll see. He's keeping me in everything.
Adam has Luka as well.
I do.
Oh my God, he's good.
He's amazing. But so the idea was you love.
So drafting.
Yes.
Drafting is more fun. I also thought like there were so many comedian interviews, people podcasts, that this was like a fun way to get to know somebody passively, like through the things they like in certain fields and listening to them talk about that as opposed to just asking them.
Who are your guys? So, we don't need another WTF.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, who are your guys? Yeah. So it kind of started like that. And we're 300 plus episodes deep right now. We drop every Thursday. We've had amazing guests on there. Like Katie Nolan is on all the time. Pablo Torre just did one. I'm trying to think of people from the sports world.
Have you had any NBA players or Blazers?
No NBA players. I reached out. The Evan Turner was going to come do it, but then COVID happened and everybody sort of sucked into their pod and we hadn't really figured out how to do it over Zoom great yet.
Yeah.
Well, he's a podcaster now.
He is.
Despite his voice, he is a podcaster now. He is. So.
And now we want to answer my DMs.
Have Evan Turner on the pod. Yeah.
Sounds like Patrick Mahomes. It's like Kermit.
Oh, my God.
Well, we have so many Kermit-based athletes.
That might be. I wonder if there's something there. If there's something genetic.
Ooh.
Could
Garrett
be.
Cole for
Garrett
my beloved
Cole,
New York
Patrick
Yankees
Mahomes,
is also.
Yeah.
He's a little Kermit-y.
Raise your kid to speak like Kermit the Frog, and there's like a 30% chance they'll become a professional athlete.
It's true.
Yeah. If they come out talking weird, put a ball in their hands, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barry Bonds always sounded like Michael Jackson. There's a lot of athletes with weird voices.
Give them a ball or a banjo. You know what I mean? One way or another, they're going to work out.
It's true.
Now, if you could get anyone from the Blazers world on the show, would it be Bill Walton?
It would absolutely be. I was about to cut you off and say Bill Walton. There's nobody I would rather
hear. It would be unbelievable.
Like, you would only get one pick. That would be the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because it would take forever. Forever.
Even if you didn't like cater to his interests, you wouldn't even have to do jam rock bands. You could be like, you know, historic generals. And he would go like... off for like an hour and a half about Tupac Amaru or whatever.
I was gonna say I'm convinced that both he and Walt Clyde Frazier are stuck in acid trips from 35 years ago.
Yeah. And God bless him for it.
Oh yeah.
I would love to take mushrooms with Bill Walton. I think that would be an amazing experience.
Oh yeah.
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 I've never done mushrooms and I would take them with Bill Walton if he offered.
You would have to take them with Bill Walton.
Yeah, for sure.
He would he would walk you through the entire experience. He's beloved in Portland, it ended weird.
Right. That was the thing. It kind of soured towards the ending.
He hated the front office. He thought they rushed him back from a broken foot too fast from his injuries. And team, after the championship team started off so hot, they were like even better than the team that won the championship. And then he just went out. If Bill Walton came along 20, 30 years later with like modern medical science, that would have been a dynasty.
Well, and that's why, I mean, I'm forgetting how it all played out. Because what pick did Portland have in they had number two, right? In this year's draft, this past year?
Three. To get Scoot, number three.
Or three. Because I was almost afraid they would get Wembanyama because they have such a history of like big men just go there and get injured, whether it's Greg Oden or obviously Walton at that point in his career, although he was older. Sam Bowie famously,
his leg would have flown off his body the second we picked him.
Yeah.
He's the thing about Wemby is he might be so interesting. He's so flexible.
Yeah.
And they've been like raising him since he was like 10 years old. And they were like, oh, you're really tall, to like start doing like yoga and all these like flexibility exercises. So they've been like, he's like the most, he's like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar levels of flexible.
Right.
For his height. But yeah, we do have a history of like cursed big men. Robert Williams III, the fact that he came to the Blazers, it was like, dude, I'm sorry. You're definitely going to miss the rest of the season. And lo and behold, he's missing.
To be fair, he did have an injury history where he would get hurt quite a bit. But it was an interesting thing where it's like, you really want to send him to Portland? Like, don't you know what happens there?
Those powers combined. I guess maybe they were betting that it would be like when you multiply two negative numbers and it becomes a positive.
Oh,
that could be, yeah.
Aiden has been really good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a very, very important Mr. Aiden question.
Yeah.
He's really been trying to ramp up his nickname as Dominaton.
Yeah.
Is this good? Is it so cheesy it's good? Is it bad?
Yeah, is he like trying to make
your own
happen?
Nickname?
I think it's, the fact that he's trying to ramp up the Dominaton while not dominating the ball makes it okay. Then it makes it cute because we're so worried. You know, I was talking to like Phoenix Suns fans after the trade happened, and just from watching the NBA, you're like, oh, he's going to try to score the ball every single time it gets in his hands. And he's been like playing really well within his role. He's like like at least a couple games ago, he was like one of the leading rebounders in the NBA already. He's playing like pretty good defense and he's not putting up like 20 shots a game. He's really playing within himself. And if he does that, he can call himself anything, dude. He can call any nickname he wants to pull off. I will support as long as he plays like this.
That's fair. What would you want your basketball player nickname to be? Something with caramel? I feel like it lends itself to like caramel references, like smoother than caramel.
Carmed and Dangerous, dude. I think Carmed and Dangerous.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That feels like something that would have been like your AIM screen name like back in the day. Like Carmed and Dangerous 420-69.
Instead, it was IK Cool Jew, which
cool with yeah. K,
like cool. Nope, cool with a C, like LL mm-hmm. Cool J, IK
Cool
Jew.
Cool Jew.
Yeah,
it was all right. Comedy from the beginning.
It was a heady time. It was a heady time. Sure. The AOL Instant Messenger days. But dude, I mean, he can come here and be corny. I don't mind a corny athlete. Shaq came up with corny nicknames for himself all the time.
True. Yeah.
Now, big men are corny. Big men are mostly corny.
I think that might be true.
That makes sense. Now, I love going to games at the Moda Center now, but like the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I love going to games there. It was always a fun time. I think my favorite aspect of it, though, is that all of the sponsors for stuff was like the most Portland possible. Like it'd be like the T-shirt toss brought to you by Artisanal Cheese.
Yeah.
Like
Voodoo Donuts.
We had a lot of like a Dave's Killer Bread. He was for a while, he was like our Jack Nicholson, was this ex-con who started a bread company.
That he was like the MyPillow guy, but not an asshole.
Like, I mean, like he had like this big curly mullet and he was ripped and he would just sit courtside. We have him. We have a very like tan, this super tan dude. I think his name's Ken, who used to sit courtside. But
it's been a big year for Ken's.
Big year for Ken's, dude. His name was Ken. I'm trying to think of other like.
Well, other than Dame Lillard, are there any Portland-based rappers? Like, do you have your E-40 somewhere?
We have Amine. God, I always spell it. I pronounce his name wrong. Amine. He's from Portland.
Oh, that's awesome.
He goes to games every now and then, and like he reps Portland pretty hard. So we've got him. I'm trying to think of any other like artisanal like sponsors and stuff.
There's craft beers, I feel like, was one that would happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of Widmer, Hefeweizens, and stuff like that. Jordan Brand, because Nike's there, Jordan Brand owns like half of the courtside seats, so you can't get courtside in Portland without going through them, which is like, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, like, I wish they would do more. I wish, like, they would let Voodoo Donuts, like, sponsor the City Edition jerseys one of these days, and we just do, like, a Homer Simpson donut looking like jersey.
Well, last year didn't they do it was like the carpet from PDX,
the PDX carpet. If they're doing things 10 years late, like the PDX carpet, let's throw a Voodoo Donuts reference in there too.
Yeah.
Let's do a Portlandia one all these years later. Put a bird on the jersey. You know what I mean?
Has Voodoo Donuts like jumped the shark? Is it still beloved there? Or
from my understanding, its lines are way too long and you can just go to Pips and get better donuts.
Yeah, that's the Portland. Yeah, it's a very, like, I mean, we can't, even when we're not hipsters, we're hipsters. Like, we can't help ourselves that. Yeah. I've zagged on the anti-hipsterdom and I'm like, Voodoo Donuts is good, actually. Because locals hate on it so much because the line is long and they're like, it's not even that good of a donut. It's a good donut. It's fine.
It's good.
It's good. Also, donuts, maybe this is an insane thing to say, it's a medium ceiling on donuts anyway. I've never had a donut where I've been like, yo, this is the fucking donut. This is the one worth waiting in line for. Cronuts came close, but that was even more of like a novelty.
Yeah.
Pretty like high floor, but kind of like a medium ceiling.
I will tell you, and we could do a fantasy draft for donuts, but
yeah,
if you ever find yourself in Philly, I know you're in Baltimore recently. If you go to Reading Terminal Market in Philly, they sell donuts made by Amish people that are the best donuts I've ever had in my, like, remember when Krispy Kreme came out and everyone was like losing their minds over that? It's like that, but 100 times better because they're churned out so quickly that like the oldest your donut is
literally
when you're eating
churned.
It is like, they're quite literally churned. They are literally churning and God forbid you wear buttons around them, but they make some of the best donuts I've ever had. So that's like the only time where I was like, yes, this is actually, but I agree with you. I would always go for something else. Like the ceiling for a donut, I'm totally with you.
I'd rather have like a scone at this point. Give me like a
scone.
Whoa, dude.
Whoa.
You better open a storefront. You would have lines around the block.
Well, we're going to sell them at the Make a Knish Foundation.
Make a Knish. I'll be in Philly in January, so I'm going to go get one of those Amish donuts for sure.
You should absolutely do that. Yeah. We're going to let you go here shortly, but tell us a little bit about your basketball podcast.
Oh, yeah. I started it with my friend Zach Harper at Talk Hoops on Twitter. He's a writer for The Athletic now, who's just like been a buddy of mine for like, 5, 6, 7, 8 years now. We just, I basically want an excuse to talk about basketball with my friend. I'm a comedian and an idiot, and I get, like, it's called emotional because most of my takes about the NBA are derived from pure emotion. And he's like an actual person who knows what he's talking about. we do at least one episode a week, usually two or three with like mailbags and stuff like that. And we just decided to put the whole thing out on Patreon because we decided to do it late before the NBA season. We're like, let's just do it, man. Let's just throw it up on there. And it's like $5 a month. And we just talk about basketball. We pick a main character every week and then end every episode with a one-on-one where we take two players and put them through realistic and hyperbolic scenarios and see who we think would come out on top.
So given his basketball pedigree and you're like more of a comedy background, do you feel like you're more like the color analyst and he's the straight guy? Like, is he the Mike Breen and you're the Walt Clyde Frazier? Is that sort of the dynamic?
It's a little bit of that in that I too have been stuck in an acid trip for most of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. And you love thesauruses are your favorite books.
I love thesauruses. I wear a hat with a feather in them when we podcast. It's fantastic. I podcast live from a Cadillac. Yeah. It's very much like that. Yeah.
God, I love Clyde so much. He's the best. He's so freaking good. He's so good. Oh my
also
God.
That is his name Clyde in any way?
No, this is the best thing about Walt Clyde Frazier. His name is just Walt Frazier. And then in the day, they were like, Walt's not cool enough of a name. This guy's too cool. What nickname should we give him? Clyde. Why? Because it sounds cool.
Because Bonnie and Clyde is a movie, and that was cool, so sure.
Yeah, it was inspired by that. And it was just like, this man is too cool for his given birth name. He needs a new name. Let's call him Clyde. He is now Clyde Frazier. It's the best nickname.
They were right. They were 100% right.
He's too cool to be
and
Walt.
I feel like Clyde Drexler, very good player, but not like quite as cool as Walt Clyde. He should have gone by Clyde Walt Drexler.
He should have gone by Clyde Walt Drexler.
Clyde Walt Drexler would have gone. Though Clyde the Glide is potentially, Clyde the Glide is that's an upper Parthenon nickname. Like,
he was so cool, except like there were two things he had going against him. That hairline, which was just, it just wasn't cool.
Well, they didn't have hairline doctors like LeBron has these days. I mean, it was a different time.
No, dude. If he had LeBron's guy, he would have been, everyone would have thought he was, but the other problem was Michael Jordan existed. So he was always the beta to Michael Jordan's alpha.
Right.
So those two things combined, like if he would have played a few years before, like in the 80s, people would have loved his ass, but.
Right. It's like David Robinson and Shaq. Like if you're a big guy at the same time, but one is infinitely cooler, like no one's going to ever talk about you, even though you are incredible at basketball.
Also cool. Yeah. And served in the Navy. A patriot, a hero. Mm-hmm.
The Admiral. Another good nickname.
But unfortunately, to your point about the team that you grew up with, I mean, and I'm not saying this to be a jerky Bulls fan, but like the most famous moment from that series is Jordan hitting all those threes and then shrugging at the camera.
The
like
shrug.
That's what people
the
think
shrug.
About.
It's iconic. We got, I mean, the entire NBA in the early 90s ran up on the rocks of the Chicago Bulls. Nobody got to fulfill their destiny.
The Rockets were the only lucky ones who took advantage of that window.
And even that, everyone's like, oh, well, Jordan wasn't in the league.
Right,
like,
nothing
is escaping. As a Knicks fan, it's just completely inescapable. There was nothing to be done.
There's all these people now who are like, I think the Rockets would have won anyway. And it's like, well, you can say that, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that they would have. Jordan was tired. I think he would have gotten it up for it.
Right.
Yeah, he would have figured it out. Yeah. He would have put it all together.
I don't want to do the analytics on like the what ifs in the 90s. You know what I mean? Like people do. I think Jordan would have won eighth grade. I really do.
I think you're probably right. Yeah. But Ian, we'll let you go here. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we let you get out of here, I know you got some tour dates coming up. What do you want to plug, man?
Oh, yeah. I'll be in Vancouver, British Columbia, November 30th through December 3rd, I think.
I like that you clarified not Vancouver, Washington,
not
as someone
Vancouver,
who lived
Washington.
In the Pacific Northwest.
I got to make sure people know.
Yeah.
No, totally.
Rarely perform in Vancouver, Washington anymore. And then Austin, Texas, December 8th and 9th at the Vulcan Gas Company. And then New York City, Philly, and Boston on January 4th, 5th, and 6th at the City Wineries there. They can
We were just Adam and I just did a show there at the City Winery.
Oh, hell yeah. Is it fun?
It's great.
It's a great spot. The food, I can give you the menu hacks, but like the food they hook you up with is quite delicious.
Really? Well, that's what you hope for out of a place called City Winery,
for
right?
For sure.
Oh, yeah. They'll give you wine too at the end. Oh, so The play that I learned, thankfully, the first time I did a show there in New York, the person, since it was just me and one other person doing a podcast, they were like, well, we're used to bands of 12 people, so let's hook it up. And they were like, do you want a cheese board at intermission? And I was like, Yes.
Yes.
And now I ask for that every time I do a show at a city winery.
I always want a cheese board at intermission.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
That's like the orange slices at halftime of a soccer game for adults.
Ah, yes.
But Ian, also, if you want to just like be true to the legacy of comedians and be a trash bag, you can just be like, you got any PBRs back there?
Yeah, PBRs and chicken fingers. Do they got fingers there too? We're like, it's chicken. It's healthy.
Yeah.
Ranch shots.
But...
So come see me then. All of my, I'm on like a, I call it a tour, but it's like between now and like June. You know what I mean? With dates all in between. So go to my Twitter, Instagram, at Ian Carmel on both. And you can find the link in bio. I got the link tree there. You can find tickets to everything.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, man. This was really fun.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Four Sources, hosted by Adam Amawala and Mike Schubert. Our editor is Kenzie Suramaki. The music is by Bettina Campomanes. The art is by Alison Wakeman. The website is by Kelly Schubert. And the social media is by both of the Horse Boys.
Thank you to our producer-level patrons, Polly Burge, Kendar Hadley, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Doka Chissing, Taco Falls, Bang, Bang, Roast Beef Debris, How About Them World Champion Denver Steamed Nuggets, Anna Reed, Angry Steph Curry is the best Steph Curry for three.
Bang.
Hi, Trish, Nicole Shepard, Chase Underulo, and it was great to meet you in person. Mr. Bubbles plays ball, Naked Rachel, Josh isn't rich, Sidney Crosby is a vampire, Chelsea's cousin, Ginger Spurs boy, you better pay up on that bet, and balls to the walls.
Oh, it's not Ginger Spurs boy, it's Salvatore Testa, he probably already has been.
Oh, never mind.
Even at the time
but
of recording.
You could see how I would have been confused given the Spurs connection.
Of course.
But Ginger Spurs boy, if you want to send Mike 10 bucks, he probably won't turn it down, but you don't need
no,
to.
No, don't it's do totally it. You're fine. Giving us, so, you're paying every episode. Do not send me $10, Ginger Spurs
well,
boy.
Well, Salvatore Testa, you almost got a reprieve, but you better pay up, my friend.
Oh, anyway. Check. You probably already sent me the money.
Anyway, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Horse Hoops and on Twitter at Horse_Hoops because...
Horse Hoops overhyped voodoo donuts, and that's what's resulting in these lines being very, very long.
Yeah, that's rough.
I know.
Sounds like grounds for banning. I totally understand it. But...
Okay, I pulled up Cash App, pending transaction from Sal Testa. And I have confirmed receipt of the $10
Sal,
payment.
Sal, you're off the hook. And as for Ginger Spurs boy, maybe I'll send you $10 as an apology for besmirching your good name on the podcast.
And what's very funny, Salvatore did make the description for Wemby still warming up.
Hilarious. I love it. You can go to our website, horsehoops.com, for links to some of the fun stuff we talked about today, including Ian Carmel's multiple podcasts that are great and that you should definitely subscribe to, and some cool clips of pick and rolls with Blake Griffin dunking all over people.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to support the Horse Boys, you can go to patreon.com/horsehoops. You can watch videos of us talking about basketball things. You can listen to extra basketball things. You can read extra basketball things. So many extra things from Adam and I are available at patreon.com/horsehoops. And then you can also go to horsehoops.com/merch and you can get merch there, such as Sup Nerds, it's basketball shirts and digital items. I believe some of the stuff is on sale as well.
Oh.
I'll have to double check. But I think they're doing a Black Friday sale with our merch partners, so you may be able to get some savings as well. But that's horsehoops.com/merch. And we will close out this episode, as we always do, by putting our hands in the middle and saying something on the count of three. Anything you're feeling in particular?
You know what? In honor of Ian, we could just do a Go Blazers. I'm in on the Blazers. I would love to see them get a ring at some point.
Yes, I'm all in on that. I'm also all in on a team that's rebuilding. I like when every team is good, so I'm happy to root for a team that is, you know, working their way up towards being good. So, yeah, I like a Go Blazers on three.
Yeah, and we could also do it with a, this is kind of a hope for the Blazers. We're going to end it with a Go Blazers, Carmed and Dangerous.
Okay. Go Blazers, Carmed and Dangerous on three. One, two, three.
Go Blazers, Carmed and Dangerous. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carmed and Dangerous on one side of the nickname spectrum, and then Clyde on the other, where it's just, need a new one, need a new name. Walt's not cool enough.
Love it.
Apologies to all the Walts out there. I'm sure you're very cool.
Indeed. Just,
yes. You're, if you are a Walt listening, you're cool because you're listening to this show. You're very cool.
Yes, thank you for increasing the average age of our listeners.
Oh my God.
Sorry, Walter. We didn't. It's nothing personal.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.